Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, July 10th. Democratic nominee for governor of Colorado, U.S. Representative Jared Polis, visited Delta last week with his lieutenant governor running mate, Diane Primavera. About 50 Delta County residents packed the Wildflower Bistro to meet the candidate and to take part in a town hall discussion. Yesterday, we heard his comments about fracking and gun control. Here's another segment of Allie Lightfoot's interview.
Let's talk about universal health care, which you've come out very much for, but it was rejected at the polls in Colorado. So how are you going to sort of bridge that gap?
Well, that was a flawed initiative that many, even in the progressive community, didn't support. Here in Delta, what we're hearing about is people's frustrations with both the cost of healthcare as well as access to healthcare in rural communities. So as part of our plan, we put first and foremost want to save Coloradans money. And we're just getting ripped off with regard to prescription drug prices, the fact that Americans and Coloradans are paying six times as much for the same exact prescription drug available in Canada or Mexico or Germany for a fraction of the price. And in rural communities, we also see the effect of a lack of access. We've heard from people who've waited 5 months to see a specialist, people who have to drive hours from their home to be able to get the care they need. So we talk about how we can incorporate better telemedicine opportunities, and that part of that is our rural broadband and internet connectivity plan.
You've talked about free preschool and kindergarten for all Coloradans. Do you have an estimate for how much money this will cost? According to the Colorado Department of Education, 55% of Colorado school districts cut down to four-day school weeks as of August 2017. If school districts don't have enough funding to be open 5 days a week, how will they afford to provide preschool and kindergarten services?
So we look at the models of some districts that are already either there or almost there with regard to preschool and kindergarten. Adams 50 School District, which is in the Westminster area, has universal full-day kindergarten for all their kids, and they have half-day kindergarten free for half their kids and full-day for half their kids. So they're almost there, and they've got there through a combination of local funding, Title I funding for an at-risk district, and a public-private partnership around a social impact bond, meaning that because early childhood education saves money, when kids have good preschool and kindergarten, they have a lower need for special education services, a lower grade repetition rate. If we can recapture some of those future savings up front through a philanthropic investment that will be repaid by actual savings, we can actually save districts money and make sure that every kid has access to preschool and kindergarten.
And please stay tuned for the final segment of Allie Lightfoot's interview with Jared Polis in tomorrow's KVNF regional newscast. Wildfires have always been a part of life in the American West, but with climate change, it's expected they will become more frequent and more intense. While some effects of wildfires are understood, their impact on water is just beginning to come into focus.
By July 4th this year, numerous fires were burning in Colorado. The 416 near Durango and the Spring Creek in the southern part of the state have been the biggest so far, in addition to others. As everyone knows, fires destroy and reshape ecosystems, but they also affect the chemistry of the waters that we eventually drink. Water providers like that in Fort Collins, Colorado, spend a lot of effort making sure that when their customers turn on the tap, clean, safe water comes out. And you don't want it to smell smoky, like you're drinking out of a canteen near a campfire. Until recently, there hasn't been much research about how wildfires change the chemistry of water and what utilities have to do to treat it. Jill Oropeza is the Water Quality Services Manager for Fort Collins Utilities.
The High Park Fire, which happened in 2012, was the first time that we'd ever seen some really major and sustained impacts on the water quality in the Poudre River. We were suddenly needed to understand what is kind of our new normal in this watershed.
The High Park Fire was started by lightning 6 years ago, about 15 miles west of Fort Collins. It destroyed nearly 260 homes, burned more than 85,000 acres, and killed one person. The fire surrounded parts of the Poudre River, one of the two water sources for Fort Collins. The city reached out to the research community to help answer questions about how fires affect what comes down the river afterwards. They turned to Fernando Rosario, an associate professor in the University of Colorado's Civil, Environmental, and Architectural Engineering program. His study, funded by the Water Research Foundation, started with much field work, then headed into the lab because one obviously can't go start a new fire in the field to see what happens.
We would go and collect soils and litter from their watersheds and then essentially simulate the wildfire conditions in the lab and create a synthetic water, wildfire-impacted water, that actually matched some of the properties that we had observed in the High Park fire.
Then they did studies to see how to effectively treat those waters. One major problem water utilities have is carbon. Again, Jill Oropeza of Fort Collins Utilities.
We have, as a water treatment plant, some really specific treatment removal requirements to get rid of as much of that organic carbon out of our water as possible.
The reason they have to do that is because the carbon can interact with chlorine they use to treat the water and create disinfection byproducts that are carcinogenic and strictly regulated by the EPA. Seems ironic that the chemical used to treat water can create contaminants if there are too many other contaminants in the water. One of the things that Fernando Rosario found after using different levels of heat on soils is the amount of organic carbon released.
What we observe is, you know, a high burning fire may give you more ashes, for example, it's more damaging to the watershed. But at that high temperature, the amount of carbon being released from the soil will be lower.
A lower temperature wildfire may be less damaging to the watershed, but it will release more organic carbon, creating more problems for water treatment professionals and likely higher utility bills for consumers. Oropeza adds that before the new research, no one was looking at how to treat wildfire-affected water. She says that the practical value is to the provider, to be prepared, which can lead to keeping costs down for consumers. And as far as global warming, Oropeza says,
the increasing number and intensity of fires happening because of the climate drivers, the expected occurrence and impacts to water utilities is just expected to only increase. So it's something that is increasingly on our radar as well as most other utilities.
From Denver for H2O Radio, I'm Jamie Sudler.
And finally, after a full day of being closed due to significant rock slides, U.S. Highway 550 at Red Mountain Pass is open for traffic. According to a press release, the Colorado Department of Transportation reopened the highway just south of Ouray after several rock slides and debris flows blocked the roadway on Sunday. Motorists will encounter one-lane alternating traffic controlled by portable traffic signals. Heavy rainfall caused the rock slides. Maintenance crews cleared rock and mud from up to 10 feet deep in some areas. A geotechnical team will also assess any road and structure damage in the area. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.